Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. Welcome to another episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. Today we have with us Amy. Hello, Amy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tanya. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. So I've been waiting to hear your journey. So where should we start with that? How many years do we go back with this?
Yeah, well, it's probably about 2007 when I started feeling ill, and it was intermittent. I'd feel a little bit ill and then I'd feel better. And I really didn't think too much of it, but I did go to the doctor to get it checked out and they said, you're fine. And then in 2009, I had all of my vaccinations as well as shots to travel to a country. And about a few months afterward, my immune system, I think, just tipped over. And I think that my body was dealing with the chronic Lyme, but then it couldn't. And that's sort of where my journey began, is really 2009.
All right. So did things progress rapidly, or was it kind of slowly, kind of like my journey was? For about the first 4 years, it just increasingly went downhill to 100% from like year one to year four. I went from 0 to 100. How fast was your process going downhill?
You know, I've never thought of it in that exact measure. So I think what I'd say is it seems like, and I'm going to use kind of a tough word here, but it seems like different things kind of crapped out on me. So, you know, it was like my, in 2009 to 2000, or no, rather 2010, August of 2010 to 2011, that's that same month, August, I lost and gained a total of 100 pounds and I would be shut out of food. So I couldn't eat. And I got, you know, I'm about 5'7", so I got down to about 119 pounds and I'm an athletic build. And that was really hard for me because I just get shut out where I couldn't eat nothing. And then I'd end up, you know, I found a few things that would beef me up pretty fast. So I would gain the weight, you know, some of the weight back or more of the weight and then lose again. So for me, I'd say the core pieces that were happening for me were the gut would be out of whack for an unbeknownst amount of time. And then it's like I'd have a little break and then my brain would be probably at its height. That was the worst part. And then I would have horrible brain fog and be out of my gourd anxious, you know, where I couldn't sleep at night. But I had some other things going on too. And honestly, because I've been well for so long, I actually have a hard time remembering. So if I go to the, which I kind of, it's like childbirth, right? Like you did it and now you kind of forget. And so I sort of revel in that when I talk to other people that have had Lyme or have Lyme, I think, wow, I had that too. I have stories that I remember, you know, that stick out, but the overall pieces are hard.
Great to hear that you've been well for so long that you almost can't remember that nightmare of a journey. So that's actually very nice to hear. Can you tell us maybe, I know that a lot of people get misdiagnosed from the beginning. Did you experience any of that? And what types of things were you told that you had prior to Lyme?
Yeah, I was misdiagnosed, I was not diagnosed. I really went pretty quickly to other alternative medicines, but I actually got diagnosed then by Western medicine down the road. And I just knew that what I had was unique. I tried had to go to the doctors, they were like, we're at a loss, or, you know, but they weren't nice. So I stuck away from that. And I went to a chiropractor who does something called networking. So they use your large muscles on your leg or your thigh to muscle test and so on. But over the course of the year, my husband said, Amy, you're getting sicker and sicker. And I tried to hang in there because sometimes you have to see things through. But what that really taught me, and this is the big message I would share for people that have Lyme, is you have to trust your own intuition. And the problem with Lyme is there are not enough doctors who are literate in it. So to me, if you know or you're getting the inkling that the doctor you're working with might not be hitting where you need to hit, that being aware of other people to go to, so having that research created, and setting up appointments, even if you might say, no, I'm not going to come. Because that was what I got stuck in, is then it was 5 months to go see the next doctor. So I tried that. And then, I mean, it just seems like kind of it's a blur. but I went from 2010, I got really sick where I just couldn't eat, like I said. So I went on, I'm very knowledgeable about my body. And I went on the Gerson therapy in September of 2010 by myself. So I juice fasted for a month. And, you know, it really detoxified me. I felt a ton better. But then it was a quick spiral back. It didn't take long before I started feeling crummy again. And then the kind of the next piece of my journey was, I'm trying to think, in about 2011, I worked with this other doctor and was trying, you know, I had been trying to kind of do my own things. But I think in the spring, I started working with her. But finally, by 2012, I just had it. And that August, I went to my primary care physician and I said, you know, something's really wrong, and listed the symptoms. And he did a whole bunch of testing, and we're self-employed, so it's like all out of pocket. And there were all of these, and I can't remember which ones, but these markers, you know, that he had tested, like this vitamin or this thing. And there were a bunch of them that were off. And it seemed to me, inside of me, there was some sort of pattern going on there that was very clear to me. And I kept saying, why are these markers off? And, well, don't worry about that. But he just was sure that I was anemic because my menstrual cycles were heavier. And I'm like, but they aren't, you know? So I just, like, no matter what it was, it seemed like I couldn't be, they wouldn't accept what I was saying or trying to challenge them. But I mean, I found that with Western medicine a bunch. So, I mean, that's another good thing I'll say about Lyme is now I don't take any crap from doctors. And I speak up really, really in an extraordinary way. To, like, I just had the surgery on my foot, and I have said to the doctor, he said, my toenail is kind of looking funny. There's some problem with my toe. And he's like, just put nail polish on it. And I just called him out. You know, I just don't put up with anything. But needless to say, my doctor sent me to his colleague who is more natural. And I thought, you know, she has more naturally based, but they're both very Western medicine. And I said to her, I really worried about my right kidney. My mother had had hers spontaneously die, and they don't know what happened. And so I said, you know, I have this pain. And she put me on the table and she knocked on my kidney and she said, is that shooting you across the room? She was really condescending. And the nursing staff spoke about me outside of the room and they were very condescending. So I just, you know, it was really hard for me. I'm a sensitive person too. And she said to me, in about 6 weeks from then, I was going to go and see this other doctor who is Lyme literate, and where I live, he is the guy to go to. He's no longer taking patients, but so I said to her, I'm going to go and see this man. His name is Christopher Foley. And she said, boy, is he smart. And what I wanted to say to her is, aren't you smart? Like, why don't you try for this? Like, you could figure out why these things are off and see. So then I went to see Chris Foley the few weeks later, and he said the same thing to me. He was really angry. And he said, what did they tell you about these things? And so I knew I was in good hands. And he said, at the time, this is what they had, is a Borrelia blood culture. So they sent that in, and he called me back in a few days, and he's like, Amy, I've only seen one person. It was a woman who was sicker than you, and yours came back in, and it was like 6 or 8 days, just riddled with these spirochetes. And he's like, you are really sick. So, you know, and then honestly, when he called me, I cried when I got off the phone, not because I knew what I had, but one of the things I cried about really was I had the financial means to get to that point. You know, just with him, the initial situation of the appointment, the first test was probably $1,500. And all the things I had spent money on prior to that, it kind of alarmed me because I felt like this is not only a horrible thing where they treat you really poorly, But it also, you know, I always say, still to this day, I say it's a disease that's not recognized by Western medicine. And that's tough. That's not fair. I mean, it's really hard. So I called my doctor back and I said, hey, and he did kind of the legal thing with me. He said, well, I was just at the Mayo Clinic because I'm from Minnesota, in Rochester, Minnesota, which is where it all began with the Mayo Clinic. And they told us chronic Lyme doesn't exist and you are going to damage your body by treating it and doing this. And your doctor's a liar. I mean, all these horrible things. And I said to him, let's sit down and talk about this. Like, I can teach you something that he taught me and you can call him. So I knew, you know, that I have to be really careful about Western doctors. And, but there was a lot of, I have to just say, abuse.
And I absolutely agree with you. And that's one of the reasons why I get very passionate when I talk about Lyme, because there's not enough recognition about what it is, where you can get it, whether Lyme can become chronic. Western medicine failed me year after year and dollar after dollar, you know, it's really, really sad. So I'm glad you found a doctor that you could believe and yeah. trust. And it's sad, but like Dr. Carl Felt here, he has so many different ways to treat patients. And you can go to a functional and integrative medicine clinic for just about anything now, which is amazing to me. So I'm sorry you went through that journey, but you're not alone, unfortunately.
That's the thing, is that they, you know, like you're saying, you know, they don't believe in chronic Lyme, or they don't believe that here in the United States we can have parasites. You know, it's like they stop by the border, or they think that Lyme does not exist on the West Coast. You know, so they, you know, as a patient, it's hard then to reason against that, because you hear that from the doctor, and then that can cost you 5 years in your journey before you figure out what it really is, because you go by that. You're listening, it's, you know, it can't be parasite or it can't be Lyme. You know, I live in California, I can't have Lyme. And so, it's horrific.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. There's where I live, so I'm close to the University of Minnesota, and there's a man named Mike Osterholm, which is an infectious disease specialist, and he chose to study that when people were stopping studying that because they said vaccines are here, we're fine. And I heard him say with Lyme that the deer in northern Wisconsin are infected, and that what would happen is the hunters would come from Chicago and Madison and these areas and throw the deer on the back of the car or the trailer, and on the way home, all along this corridor where there are many people, these animals, the ticks would pluck out of the animals because the animals are dead. You know, I mean, it's really interesting. So he's like, that has some merit to our spread. You know, I'm close to there, but I thought, boy, why don't we get possums and birds to come and eat these things? You know, I mean, I don't know what, there are several animals that eat ticks, like 5,000 a day. But, you know, it's bad. It's a bad. And I must preface too, the doctor I saw, Chris Foley, is a Western doctor, but he broke away from traditional Western medicine, started his own private practice to focus on Lyme because he knew it's so, he's like, this is the most screwed up disease as far as Western medicine is considered. So I think that's why he did it. He's a very caring and a Western MD. So it's not that, it's more the understanding and the willingness to break that threshold of I know for you and you don't know for yourself, and really get in there and do the research. I think that doctors need to be foremost creative, and I think that's gotten taken away.
And I know within the medical community in itself, a doctor that do break away and do say, you know, do treat Lyme, say that they treat Lyme, that they are ostracized by their community. And so it's a big leap of faith, and you have to kind of be strong in yourself to dare to do that.
Absolutely. And I, you know, one of the things that really I had a lot of reverence for during my process of healing is even if, like, sometimes I just pray to myself or intend, even if my journey with this is so that I can move other modalities of healing forward, I'll accept that, because it just seemed like a money letting. And I know this doctor couldn't do it anymore for me. And I'd just be like, oh my God, I paid you so much money and you really didn't get me any further. And it's not necessarily, you know, your fault, but it's also this, that's really hard. You know, it's really hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard. Because I got to the point with, I can't tell you how many doctors, they just simply made me feel that, okay, you know, you came to the right place. I'm so glad you found me. I'm definitely going to help you, you know, because my description was, I feel like I have bone cancer. Like that is how the pain feels. And after 4, 5, 6 months and them taking tons of my money and everything coming back, they were basically calling me a liar.
Yeah.
You don't feel that way. And that is what was so discouraging, is that I am super, super honest. I can't say I'm the most honest person in the world, but I'm right up there. Like I'm brutally honest sometimes. And for doctor after doctor not to believe in what I'm trying to explain to them of how I'm feeling, it was very berating, you know? And that was a hard journey to go down. And I think that, I don't know why they do it. Do they do it because they don't have the knowledge of Lyme? Do they do it because they don't believe in Lyme? I don't know. Personally, I didn't care at the time. It was all about me. But that's what's sad is that they don't, we're the patients. You know, we're supposed to be that customer. The customer is always right. If I'm telling you I feel like I have bone cancer, then I hurt, obviously. So believe what I'm telling you and continue to search for me. And they just give up. So super grateful for all the alternative resources out there, the integrative doctors and the naturopathic doctors.
Yeah.
So how did you, so you met this doctor, Dr. Foley, and you did all the tests and he confirmed this is Lyme. What were the next steps? I mean, how did you resolve all these issues? I mean, what kind of steps did he do?
Right. So he put me on broad spectrum antibiotics. I was on amoxicycline, doxycycline, and minocycline for, I think it was 3 times a day. And it's been a while. So, and then he had me on the Cowden protocol. So Cemento, Banderol, I have probably a few others that I don't remember. And then I had some hormonal stuff. So he put me on, you know, maybe some adrenal and some blah, you know, to help support my body. And I mean, virtually that ends up being fistfuls of pills 3 times a day, which, you know, I sort of have developed an aversion. But I did that for about 5 weeks. And then I had read, of course, that's the other problem with Lyme. And I hope it's still not this way, but you feel like you're trying to research faster than your doctor can just to make sure you're doing the right thing for you. And I researched and I found out that pretty much I'd have to be on these for 8 months to 18 months in order to catch them in my bloodstream. So I went off of them and I stayed on the Cowden protocol, and I actually filled in with the rest of the Cowden. I don't know that I was on the full thing. And I had read people had success being on the Cowden for 2 years, and I thought, well, at least it will hold me to some degree. And then my doctor called me a few months later and he said, you were so sick. Where are you? I'm worried about you. And I said, I don't agree with your protocol. And he's like, well, that's good. And he had me talk to his nurse, and she said he's changed it where he had learned if you heat your body to, you know, in a sauna every day, it pushes these little animals out to your bloodstream and you can catch them. And I'm like, well, I'm totally on board for that. And the irony is I had a lot of athletic energy when I had Lyme. So I would bike every day to the YMCA, which is a 4-mile round trip, and sit in their sauna. And then I was cool to take these antibiotics. So all in all, I was probably on the antibiotics maybe 5.5 months total. And I feel that would have been August of 2013. I felt like he had caught, and I'm an intuitive, like highly intuitive person, the Borrelia. But I did not really understand that there were co-infections. I don't think we ever discussed that. So he wanted to have me retested, which was $600, and then do this other blood work, which isn't, you know, and I ditched. That's what I did. And he realized years later, he's like, I think that people ditch because it gets so expensive. And I'm like, you're right. But what I didn't know is I then went to this other person who did field control therapy. So that was an odd journey. And at one point he told me I had colon cancer. And he told me to have a tooth redone. It was like a tooth that has a crown on it. It's the only tooth that I have anything with. And yada, yada. And then I called him out with that. And I was like, can you just tell me more about this? And he lashed out at me. I was like, you got to get out of here. So then it was on to other doctors. And I eventually landed at, I got pretty sick by 2014 in the spring. And I went to the Hansa Center, which has completely changed, I think, how it's set up, but that's in Wichita, Kansas. And they really got after it. And what I decided in my head too is I'm going to believe that this is it, that this is catching everything, and I'm getting on board with that, and I'm believing I'm done. And I really, I mean, as hokey as it might sound, I think that mindset really helped, because I was just like, this is it, you're dying, you know? Even years later, I went to a functional neurologist and he said, gosh, I just read this article that 19 bodies were autopsied that had chronic Lyme and they had a parasite in their brain that nobody knew about. And I was like, mine are dead. I don't have that. I'm good. Because the thought of that is horrific. But also, we've been told everything. I think when you have Lyme, you've been told everything. I mean, if it gets you over one thing, it's going to get you over being phobic about being sick, because it's the worst. So for me, it was a great teacher. It taught me so much about my body and health. And I go to the doctor now and I'll say things like, oh, you're probably going to put them on, you know, cephalexin. And this is why, and they're like, how do you know this? And I think I have a medical degree from all the, you know, and you get into almost witchcraft levels of, you know so many herbs. And I remember saying that to myself too, that, you know, there are people who knew, like shamanic people who knew how to cure these types of things long ago. And we lost that. And I remember being really angry for a while about why did we lose that touch with knowing how humanity's progressing and what's wrong with us and how to get ahead of it. That really bothered me.
And I think that's a little bit of, you know, why we see such a surge in a lot of these infectious agents. It's that disconnect from our history. And then also, obviously, we are now exposed to so many unnatural frequencies around us, you know, the 5G, EMF and chemicals and things. And that really kind of disturbs our normal biome or normal kind of different pathogens that we have, that they get more virulent. And then we are disconnected. So we don't have the tools anymore to deal with them appropriately.
I agree. And I think, I kind of question too, if that's what Lyme is bringing around, is we have to be in touch, because it's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really awful.
Yeah. It kind of forces you to connect. I mean, it's like I deal with a lot of cancer patients as well. I mean, you get that horrible diagnosis, then that puts you at a spot where you have to connect. I mean, you have to do something. You can't just kind of go your, you know, merry old way, and not do something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that anytime one of my family members or my friends, they get sick or something happens, and I'm like, oh, well, you should take this or this or use red light therapy. And I know they all think I'm a little voodoo, and that's okay. As long as they hear me out, hear what I have to say, then I'm happy. I know that, you know, they're probably not going to do what I'm suggesting. And that's okay. I'll do me, you do you. But I had to be my own advocate for so many years to get my own diagnosis of Lyme that, like you, Amy, I kind of feel like I'm a doctor without a license. Right. And I think that you and I, we kind of share that same similarity, that we know, I'm sure, way more about Lyme disease and how to treat it than a lot of Western medicine doctors do. And it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah, I respect too that I'm a little bit of a distance from it, so I probably don't know as much about that. But, I think too, since this is something that's being broadcast to people with Lyme, My father-in-law had kind of chronic bronchitis. He'd get it every December 28th every year. And then he started getting it where he'd have, you know, another round of antibiotics and it wouldn't go away. And he'd have this horrible thing for 6-8 weeks. And I finally said to him, you know, you might consider trying elderberry syrup and I can make some for you and I can, you know, ship them over to you, whatever. And he started using it and he's never had bronchitis since. And so since he's had that experience to move slowly at his own pace in his own way, he's moved into finding the elderberries himself and making the syrup himself. And now when I, you know, I sent him a book for the holidays that was Donna Eden's energy medicine. And I talked to him on the phone and I had it spiral bound and everything. It was so cute. And he's like, I'm doing it every day. And I do this one for depression. I mean, I'm not depressed, but boy, is it working. And I think that sort of showing one thing that can help, or, you know, and I really worried about him. I'm like, that's a lot of antibiotics to be taking year after year. I mean, I'm not against antibiotics by any means, but I feel like there's an intuitive level about that's too much, you know? So he did, you know, now he listens quite like, what do we do about that? But he doesn't really come and ask me, but he sort of, right, you know, puts it.
I love hearing in that. Yeah.
And that's, so
it takes time.
Yeah. And that's also, I think it's important people to understand is you have the pharmaceutical agents, you know, like the antibiotics and things that you go after the pathogens and I kind of liken them as a sniper shot. You know,
right.
but it doesn't have a broad base, you know, where you and pathogens, they're very intelligent and they're very adaptable. So once you kind of go after them with an antibiotic, they figure out how to kind of evade that. But then you bring in then some of these natural agents, like you're talking about Lee Cowden's protocol or, you know, elderberry syrup. You know, it's a much more complex structure that it's harder for bugs to figure out. And these natural agents that have evolved over time, you know, with these pathogens and these natural agents, they've had to protect themselves against these pathogens. So, so it's, even though we think that, herbs, that's nice. And pharmaceuticals are much more powerful. Actually, it is the opposite because the herbs are so complex so that it is hard for the pathogens to adapt and compensate for the impact of the of these natural agents.
I wholeheartedly agree. I'd say the thing I'd add on to that, too, is when I think about taking Western medicine, and you talk about vibration or, you know, elderberries are natural and they happen to be natural where we live. I mean, so that's another piece. But so I, you know, I look at that and I think your body assimilates to what nature's created. It just, it tends to, and it tells you right away if it doesn't. It's like, that's not your way to deal with this, you know? So I think that's another piece that's important is we, you know, you can pretty well trust what's going to be your, you know, assimilation factor with natural things.
Yeah. And it brings a certain level of intelligence, you know? So the like talking about energy medicine, you know, it has a certain frequency, so it actually brings a certain level of energy, frequency, intelligence to us when we take it.
Absolutely.
Well, Amy, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you so much for sharing your journey. People really need to know this so that they, you know, they can just kind of move through this faster and quicker and be more intelligent about it, and also hopefully create awareness with doctors out there so that they recognize that this is something that is a big issue. I mean, if you talk about pandemic, this is a pandemic, and we need to have the tools to be able to resolve it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate that you're getting this message out. It's an important one.
It certainly is. Thanks so much, Amy.
Yeah, thanks.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.